All right. We are back with Sandy, who's a DU alum and was a part of the conference back in the day, graduated in 2013.
Yeah.
With an undergrad degree in psychology.
Psychology and a minor in art.
And a minor in art. Yeah. Okay, good. And when you presented as a senior back in 2013, how has, from what you've observed today, oh, by the way, have you been upstairs?
I have, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so you've seen some presentations and the posters and stuff. How has it changed?
Well, talking about the posters, I think that the titles of the research, I don't know, I feel like that's different. There's new topics. Like, there was some stuff about work in what was it? Like, non-pharmaceutical practices for, like, doula work for women who are pregnant. Like, stuff like that, I think. I remember I felt like mine was, like, new, kind of interesting and new. 'Cause my work was on women's clothing choices and body image, but it's like body image, right? And this is like, but it's more, I don't know, it seemed very interesting to me, the topics up there. But yeah, the in general, the event is a lot more, you can see that it's grown. I remember it felt more grassroots, and I presented, but I don't know. It feels very important and formal today.
Well, and I think it is important.
Yeah.
And if not formal, a little bit formal.
Yes, and a little bit casual, which is nice.
Yeah, it really does seem like a good combo.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to compare when you presented, so 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Right? So it seems a little more formal and... Go back to what you were talking about just a moment ago on the topics and the actual presentations themselves. How has that changed? By the way, when you did it, was it in Creekside? Do you remember? Or was it up in 2013? It had to be up there.
It's kind of a blurry memory. I know for sure the oral presentation was in Creekside. And the poster, I remember it was either a classroom or... I'm not sure if it was here already.
You know, I was talking to Sabrina, who was the first guest this morning on the podcast. And back when I was a psych student 100 years ago, our posters were so primitive, right? Hers is today, she rolled it out, and it is just, you know, this
really
amazing
nice.
Piece
yeah.
of beautiful art and technology combined.
I kept my notes from my professor, Bill Phillips, who helps coordinate this. On how to make a poster on PowerPoint. I still have those notes in case I need to
Isn't that
do
funny?
One.
All right. So what have you done since? So you graduated with an undergrad in 2013 from Dominican. Then where'd the journey take you?
My first job was working with 0 to 3-year-old children and their parents. But I was not that good at working with the parents yet. But I've been doing it on and off. It's been 7 years, almost 8 years. And now I love that that's what happens as you do things more and more, then I can feel the experience coming in. So I had the background in like child development and all of this, but then how do you say it to a parent? And so now I use all these analogies, and then so that's what I've done a lot. After Dominican.
And you're getting good at it, I bet.
Yeah, I think so.
Don't be humble. I mean, if you're good, you know you're good.
I'm good. I've helped train some people coming in. It's a hard job because you have to hold a lot in mind. There's a moving 2-year-old, and then there's a parent, and you have to bring your expertise, but you also have to remember to talk to lift up the parent. You don't want to hurt their self-esteem, and they have a lot of knowledge about their child. So I'm a lot better at juggling all of that, of what might the parent be thinking, and what does the child need, and where's the mismatch, or where did the parent connect, and like, oh, yes, you did good, you know. So that's what I've been doing, home visits a lot, and but I do work in the community, so sometimes families prefer to meet at the park and, you know, change it up, not make it as it's not going to be effective if it feels boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then sometimes when parents are, you know, I'm going to talk a little bit about what I've done aside from that. But I started to notice that some people couldn't have me at their home. They had to work full time.
Uh-huh.
And so then I'll go to their daycare. I'll be flexible. And how do we still get this child to get benefits? But then it won't be the same because the parent won't be there. But how do we make it as best as possible?
Right.
I started to notice that some kids were arriving almost at 3, and the 0 to 3 year services are really intensive. And after 3, it shifts a little more to the school. But that's when the brain grows the most.
Is that true?
80% of our brain grows the first 3 years of our life.
Incredible.
It's my favorite statistic, and that's why I love research, because I get to use that and use it in my everyday work. But that's why I actually ended up doing a master's in social work, because I saw some discrepancies, like specifically some children that were, maybe their parents went to school less, maybe just elementary school or lower income. And I started to see those patterns of like, oh no, why are they coming in so late and they're only benefiting a couple months? And so, one of my dreams, I did some outreach as part of my master's program. I did an internship in my job, but I added the outreach piece of going out and going to clinics, going to places and talking about what is 0 to 3 work. And it can be very taboo. And so, anyway.
Go ahead and explain that.
Yeah.
It can be very taboo. That's you know, just such a big red flag and something in a discussion like this.
I mean, nobody wants anything to be wrong with their baby. And that's part of where when I come in, I kind of translate for the parents, like, there's nothing wrong, but maybe they're communicating different. Maybe they're using more body language right now. Maybe let's see what their face is telling us. And so I kind of feel like an interpreter, a baby and parent, and seeing the strengths. But it's kind of hard. I remember going out, having a table with books and information, and people were like, hesitant to approach me.
Of course.
But from that work, I did some door knocking. People were very hesitant, but once that's where like relationship is really important, because once people could trust me, then they started to tell me more and tell me more about their child. Mm. And then they would eventually ask me, like, do you think my child would qualify for services? And I would say, I don't know, but we can have them go to get assessed and find out and see. And explain, like, the work is play. They're little.
Right.
So we're going to play. And
I bet you've become a master at recognizing body language and the subtleties in communication.
Something that I think developed in this job is my ear. Because every parent, I want to say almost 100%. I've never taken data on it, but I want to say 100% of parents want their child to speak to them and to know what they're thinking and what they need. and so I know that, like, I would pick up on the, like, if the parents would say, like, hi, and the baby would go, ah, I'd be like, oh, wait, I think that was a response to you. And then we would do it again and again, and eventually would develop into a hi. And then sometimes the parents would miss it. But my ear, I really wanted to have them have that reward, that I would pick it up, and then they could hear it, like, oh yeah, they did.
Do you attribute that lack of recognition in that moment on the part of the parents,
mm-hmm,
to them being simply too close to the entire process, but you are one step away, right, and we're able to recognize that? Or is it as a result of your training, or both?
I think both. There's a psychologist, Barbara Comanson. She's designed grad programs and stuff on this work of parent-infant work. And she reminds us, parents see me, and they don't see me as someone who works with 20 other families. They only live in their, you know, they know their one child. And I get to see 20 kids in the same month, you know, and so then I get to compare. And so, yeah, that gives me some experience of, like, picking things up. But then there's this very important thing called attunement. And sometimes when parents are grieving, you know, I'm a new parent. It's only been 3 months.
Is that right?
And I forget how important play is. Uh-huh. And sometimes I think as parents, we get so focused. Like I'm teaching my child to take a bottle for the first time because I've been breastfeeding her. And the first time I was so preoccupied. And this is like, I think a parent, like I need her to eat because I need her to be independent from me if I need to come and speak at a conference like today.
Yeah.
And so then we watched some videos, and I think that's where the neutral party, which is me when I'm working, it's helpful because in the videos they were like, remember to introduce the bottle and just let them touch it and look at it and explore and play. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's my job.
Yeah, is that
so
funny?
So that's it reminded me, like, let me let her get used to it before she eats from this bottle.
That's because all of a sudden you're in a totally different role.
Yeah, very different.
Now it probably also gives you greater perspective for the views of the parents that you work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I always kind of tried to imagine what the parent might be feeling, and I could see visually sometimes. I mean, children, your sleep is different. So I could see, wow, they're so tired. Maybe today let's go on a walk. Or I would try to empathize, like, with them.
Yeah.
And now I realize, like, you can tell me, I mean, especially when I was, like, weeks after having my baby, sleeping, I don't know, 4 hours a night, 3 hours a night, you would tell me something and I would forget it immediately after.
Because, like, of sleep deprivation.
Yeah. And so I can imagine coming in with all this information about, oh, development, this and that, and so I've learned to slow it down a lot, and it's it goes a long way when you connect with the parent and what they actually need. Maybe give one or two advice for the day and work on that and for the next hour.
This is so great that you and I'd love to have the path lead right back to your participation in this conference, and of course at Dominican, right? Because you and I both have had, it sounds like you had I had a great experience as a student at Dominican.
Yeah.
I really did. Everything about it was great. And I had no idea that I would end up in a professor's role. I was a psych major.
Right?
And one of the doors that opened as my personal door closed on psychology. Mm-hmm. You ran with it. You flourished in it.
Yeah.
It's your whole life. I kind of saw that for myself, and somewhere in my senior year I realized it just wasn't it's not right, but other doors open up as a result of me at Dominican. I'm not saying for everybody, I'm not trying to sell anything, but it did open up doors for me. Maybe it's a small school, maybe it's, I don't know, I'm not sure. Right? But as one door closed in my mind, another one opened up for me professionally. Yeah. And, you know, I can trace that back to my experience here at Dominican.
Oh, yeah.
If you were to describe this particular conference or your feeling of the conference, is there one word? I know you're on a tight schedule and you a lot.
One word. Community.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Why, and why do you say that?
Well, I love the psychology department because they all went by first names, you know, Bill, but it's Dr. Phillips, you know.
Right.
But my teachers, Bill, Leanne, Afshin, everybody, I know that they're happy. They tell me they're happy to see me. They're happy to support in any way. Bill wrote about a million letters for me when I was applying to grad school. I love the small school that I got to really feel connected to everybody here.
Yeah.
And get to know them. Bill went to my wedding.
Ah, you know? How about that?
So it's very, it really, everything that I learned here, I still use it every day. So.
And are you part of the panel, part of the speakers today? Have you already presented?
So with Noelle, we were keynote speakers. So I finished my talk earlier. We got to have some question and answer with some students and the people up there. So So yeah, that was really fun. And
were there a lot of people up there?
There's definitely more people now that they came in with their posters. But let me see. I want to say at least 50 people, and maybe half were students.
Uh-huh.
That was my question. I'm like, how many people are here students? Because I wanted to know who I'm talking to. And that was really nice to have a mixed group up there.
And who were the other 25?
There was a lot of professors.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and good. I don't know, others. Yeah, I think staff and stuff. But yeah.
Yeah, not just psych people, though.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Yeah.
No. Definitely not just psych people. No. Yeah. I, of course, probably focused a lot on them because they were who I was hanging out with. But, yeah. Yeah, and it's really nice. We got an opening with music, and that's something Bill was saying. He's like, I love that in this conference we have music, because we don't see that often in research conferences.
That's true. And it loosens it up a little bit and makes it cool, and music makes everything better.
Yeah, enjoyable. Yeah.
All right, Sandy, I really appreciate you coming by and getting to know you a little bit, talking about this whole thing. What's the name of your boy?
Oh, I have a girl. Her name is Serena. Yeah.
You mentioned it earlier, and I had a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. No. Yeah, Serena, Serena.
Uh-huh. And you'll have to show me a picture before you leave.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
very good.
I
bet you have at least
have
one.
Now. I need to get more memory on my phone.
All right, everybody. That's Sandy. And I hope you have a good rest of the conference. All right. Oh, my goodness. There she is. Let's see.